You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 524 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, coming to you live here on this Monday evening into Tuesday morning. It's pretty late into the night here. This is podcast number 3 that I recorded today, so please be patient with me on this fine evening. But if you missed it, this is part 2 of a 2-part podcast on this particular feed. The first one being a recap of what transpired between the Hawks and the Wizards on Monday night. A pretty impressive performance from the Hawks in some ways, especially offensively, in a 137-129 victory. So go back and listen to that podcast if you missed anything from Monday night's game. And if not, just download it for me. I really appreciate everybody listening to that one. If you're a new listener, welcome aboard. This is going to be a trade deadline focused mailbag episode. I am traveling a little bit this week, actually, in between now and the deadline. If a big deal breaks, I will of course break in. But if we don't get a huge rumor or a huge deal that comes between now and then, I wanted to get something in the can to go ahead and provide some backdrop for the trade for the deadline itself. So that's why you get this podcast Monday into Tuesday morning that'll post. It's sort of a two-parter in some ways. So the game. And now we'll get into the trade stuff, which I know a lot of people are looking forward to. So here we go with some podcast listener questions, and I really appreciate everyone that submitted one. And the first one comes from Alex, who asks, "You're probably getting a lot of questions on the same guy, so I'll flip it around and ask you which players would surprise you if they actually were traded between now and the deadline. I think the three guys who would be legitimately shocking to me if they were traded would be Trae Young, John Collins, and Kevin Huerter. Obviously, there are players in which the Hawks could trade Kevin Huerter especially for. There are better prospects, but I think there's just no impetus for the Hawks doing that. Those are their core pieces at this point in time, along with their future draft picks. So I'd be pretty surprised, obviously, if any of those three guys were actually dealt between now and then. I'd be pretty surprised also if they moved Amari Spellman. In part because I think the Hawks value him more than most of the rest of the league does. He was not considered to be a sort of consensus top 30 prospect in the draft. The Hawks took him at 30. He fits what the Hawks want to do offensively, especially. Travis Schlenk likes Amari Spellman quite a bit, and I think that would sort of hold back a deal that would actually involve Amari. Elsewhere, I think a Miles Plumlee trade would kind of surprise me. The Hawks have no reason to try to flip him right now with the way that they're actually trying to construct long-term. So unless it's to take back bigger bad money, like Jan Mihimi or something like that, Plumlee is not someone who I think the Hawks want to go out and actively shop and try to get off of. Elsewhere, I think Vince Carter would surprise me because Vince, you know, maybe if Vince wanted to buy out, he probably could get one of those, but I'm not sure he has huge value on the market. And I think he kind of likes it in Atlanta and all that fun stuff. And lastly, Alex Len and DeAndre Bembry would both kind of surprise me. They're both pretty cheap, and I'm not sure that either guy will ever be necessarily a starter on a good team, but they've been solid rotation players this year. They're cheap for next year. They're signed, and I'm not sure what the impetus would be for the Hawks dealing one of those guys unless someone just came in and overpaid. So, you know, the only guys that would actually like fall on the floor, stun me, would be Young and Collins. I think Huerter will probably be close to that as well. But for the most part, it's the other guys that I did not mention that most of the deal stuff is focused on. So there you go. Hope that answers the question. Next up comes from Daniel, and he asks, I think you've asked this before, how would you rank Dwayne Dedmon, Jeremy Lin, and Kent Bazemore, and Torian Prince in order of who is most likely to be traded between now and Thursday? That's four guys. These are the four guys that everyone keeps talking about. It was always going to be three guys with Dedmon and Lin and Bazemore. Now Prince has been reported enough times to where I think it's pretty clear that he's available in trade. My order is not explicitly sourced. I am putting together some information on stuff that I've heard as well as stuff that's been out there in the ether. So take it with a grain of salt. I am not Adrian Wojnarowski. I am not plugged in like crazy with everyone, but this is me answering a mailbag question in terms of my order that I would personally put them in. And again, it's not hard sourced, so please do not aggregate this and talk about it other places. Not that you would, but there you go. My number four in terms of the least likely of these four guys to be traded would still be Torian Prince for me. I think it's more likely now that he'd be traded than it was a couple of weeks ago before I heard all of this. But I still think if you were asking me to rank these four guys, Prince would be number four of four. I think he has the most value pretty easily of these four players because he's on a rookie contract. He's still young. His offensive game is pretty interesting, and it sort of has that 3-and-D pedigree. But I think he strikes me as more of someone who could be traded in the summer than now. I don't think his next contract is going to be with the Hawks. I wouldn't be stunned if it was, but I don't think it's necessarily going to be the case. But I think unless the Hawks were bowled over from on an offer for him, you know, some of the recent reporting was the Hawks wanting a player and a pick for Prince. That may not be available to them right now in the middle of the season. Also, a presumed suitor for Prince was Portland, who actually added Rodney Hood this week. He would have made some sense there. So I think I'd probably have Prince last. It would not surprise me if he got traded, but I think he would be the number 4 of 4 for me on this list. I think Lynn and Bazemore are like a tied for second place, basically, at number 2 and 3 on this list. I think Lynn's $13.8 million salary, it can be really tough to move in some ways because the Hawks might have to take back some ugly money for next season in a deal in order to make it make sense on both sides. Lynn isn't going to be traded, I don't think, to a team that's not trying to make the playoffs, so that kind of limits the pool a little bit as well. I think the Hawks could certainly do that, but it would take some real compensation to take on bad money for next year, and because Lynn makes so much money, it isn't as easy as you might think to trade him. Otherwise, I think he'd have some serious value. I think he still has some value because people, you know, a lot of teams want a point guard upgrade, even a backup point guard like Philly. You know, Portland's been out there as well. There's some spots that might like Lynn as a backup option, Sacramento even, but not a perfect scenario out there for me where I would project him too easily to stay in Atlanta. I'd have Bazemore alongside him. I tackled this a little bit earlier in the process quite a bit, but Chris Haynes said recently on Nate Duncan's podcast that Bazemore was the player most likely to be traded in the entire league. That stunned me, frankly, even with Haynes being more plugged in than I am by a long shot. I think it's still pretty aggressive, though. And since then, New Orleans has been now off the table almost entirely because of the Anthony Davis saga. I can't imagine them going out and buying. So removing a suitor like that kind of takes some of the wind out of Bazemore's sail. I think Brian Windhorst today on Monday talked about this on a podcast that he's not heard much at all on Bazemore for the last week or so. Doesn't mean he won't be traded, but the options are kind of limited in terms of just the very obvious places. I think Houston is the one that's just been sitting out there forever. Bazemore is making $18 million this year and $19.3 million next year on a player option that he's probably going to pick up. So Houston for Brandon Knight, Marquise Chris, and a pick or two makes sense. That's been out there forever. But aside from that, you got to find a playoff team that wants him, and you got to find a team that has some bad salary to send back to the Hawks to make that deal make a lot of sense. And the team has to be willing to take on money for next year because Bazemore is going to opt in that contract more often than not. So Houston would be the one for me. But most teams, like, you know, Philly wants cap space next year, for instance. There are teams that want to keep their books clean, and Bazemore is not going to be clean books for next year. So it kind of complicates matters a little bit. I think Bazemore also could be sticking around Atlanta with no problem. I think that's not really an urgent matter for the Hawks. We'll see how that looks in the future. And lastly, for me, the most likely would be Dwayne Dedmon. This is, again, me kind of guessing, just trying to answer the question. There's something to the issue with middling salary that it's almost harder to trade Dedmon right now because he's not making that much money, but still he's a legitimate starting caliber center in the NBA. He has huge utility as a shooter now. He's a real sample size of him being a quality shooter, even off movement. His rim protection has been good this year. I think Dedmon's just a good player, and he would help a lot of teams. You know, Philly's been one that's been prominently mentioned a lot in discussions, but Dedmon's pretty easy to fit in a lot of teams. Houston would be useful for him as well. There are a lot of teams that could use his salary. It's not that hard to aggregate salary to match back to Atlanta, and I think Dedmon would be number one as a result of that for me. So that answers two questions. We'll come back with two more at least after this break, but I do want to tell you guys to subscribe to the Locked On Podcast Network. We have a show that's sort of a two-parter today, obviously, but normally at least one show every couple days during the week, and honestly pretty prominent throughout the season, trying to do rumors and games and all that fun stuff. We also have podcasts available for every single NFL team and every single NBA team, as well as national shows for those podcasts, as well as fantasy shows for those podcasts, and some baseball, some college. There's all kinds of stuff on Locked On Podcast Network, so please go ahead and subscribe today. Tell a friend, and after a short break, we'll come back and answer a couple more of your questions on the podcast. All right, and we're back to talk about a couple more questions here. The first one comes from Keith, and he asks, if the Hawks don't trade Dwayne Dedmon or Jeremy Lin between now and Thursday, what are the chances they would buy them out, or would they keep them until the end of the season? Interesting question. I think I would bet first and foremost on one or both of those guys getting traded still, so I'll start with that. I think, though, the buyout question is an interesting one and one that a lot of people have been asking me about. I think it almost comes down exclusively to whether those players want to be bought out or not. The Hawks have a pretty good reputation around the league for acquiescing to players. Last year, for instance, they definitely had some incentive to buy out Ursula Ilyasova and Marco Bellinelli to help their draft selection, all that fun stuff. But with sharper lottery odds last year, they had a reason to do that. Still, I think that the Hawks have, even dating back to pre some pre-Travis Schlenk days, the Hawks had a pretty good track record of going ahead and helping guys out and facilitating trades and facilitating buyouts. So if Dedmon, you know, it's one of those things where Len and Dedmon both helped the Hawks win, which can be good and bad, obviously, with draft pick stuff in considerations, but they also have value beyond the court as good locker room guys. You know, Len has been a mentor for Trae Young. That's definitely valuable. That's one of the reasons why the Hawks wanted to bring him in. And for me, most importantly, they're not really taking away opportunities for the young guys. I guess you could sort of argue that Spellman is blocked a little bit by Dedmon's presence, but Spellman's playing plenty, honestly. So it's not like he's really blocked. And obviously, there's no one behind Jeremy Lin. So there's no real argument in terms of those guys blocking development or hurting the Hawks development-wise to kind of make them want to buy them out. With that said, I think that if either one of those guys wanted a buyout and wanted to get elsewhere for a playoff team or some other reason to showcase themselves, the Hawks would probably do that. I think that's not sourced information right now. It's kind of me going on track record and just the way that the Hawks operate in a normal standpoint. But I'm not sure that the Hawks would have any reason to go actively, like, really sort of push for a buyout for either guy if they were still on the roster. I don't think I'd bet on either of those guys re-signing with the Hawks, but it's not impossible also. So there's some value to having bird rights and that kind of fun stuff. So I'm not sure you can answer this question fully without real intel. It's kind of what the player wants, what the player's thinking, what the agent's thinking. Dedmon has incentives in his contract. Lin might just like it in Atlanta, for instance. Or he might want a more playoff-bound, more like prominent role, like that kind of thing. But in the end, if they're still on the roster past Thursday, buyout stuff's going to be floating around, and they'll probably have to squash it early if they don't want to get bought out. But if either one of those players went to the Hawks and said, I want to be bought out, full stop, I think the Hawks would do that. That's me with an educated guess. That's not me reporting that. I do think that if they wanted one badly enough, the Hawks would facilitate it. And if not, we'll see what happens between now and the deadline. And of course, after the deadline, you have until March 1st to be off of the roster and then signing somewhere else to be eligible for the playoffs, which obviously those guys would want to be eligible for the playoffs if they were going to sign somewhere else. Two more questions to hit on, one of which comes from Lance. And it is, at the beginning of the season, I think most folks covering the league thought the Hawks would be looking to be competitive in 2020-21 season at the earliest. However, with the Hawks being surprisingly competitive in recent weeks and the East being so weak, do you feel the organization will be trying to be competitive next season and push to make the playoffs? Interesting. I do think that it's possible now. It's a possible thing that the Hawks could make the playoffs next season. With that said, I would not bet on Travis Schlenk hurrying the process up on purpose. I think if they make the playoffs next year, it will be because they saw development from the young guys. If John Collins makes another leap, or Trae Young makes another leap, or young guys, or if they get Zion or whoever the rookie is really good. The East is so poor that they could certainly do that without making a big splash and adding a veteran or anything like that. They could probably win 36 games next season with a young core, just kind of being a young core. So with that said, that is sort of on the table, and I think it's possible. But the question is for the organization to push to make the playoffs. I would say no to that. Knowing what I know about Travis Schlenk, what he said on my podcast, what he said other places and interviews, I think he's taking the long view. Maybe if the Hawks got into a playoff race next year, they might want to push if it was not at the obstacle of the future. That's always something to keep in mind. But everything is viewed through the prism of future-facing assets. You know, if guys like Bazemore are still around next year, he would certainly help them win, but he's an expiring contract after next season, and the books are really clean after next year. You know, next year is the year that they still have Bazemore, they still have Plumlee, that's about $32 million worth of, not dead salary, but a lot of money tied up in veteran players. Bazemore is obviously very valuable. Plumlee's almost dead salary completely. So the books after that are very, very clean for Atlanta, so that from there you have some cap space to look ahead to deals and free agency, all that fun stuff. So I think the realistic goal for playoffs is the following year, 21 and 22, but next year is not off the table by any means. The 2021 season, as the question was asking. So I think 2 years from now is probably the realistic target date for a playoff appearance. The 19-20 season is the earliest it could happen, but I wouldn't bet on it, and I don't think that Travis Schlenk and company are going to try to speed up the process at all by, you know, taking on veterans or going out and trying to do something splashy in order to push a year before schedule. Last podcast question for today comes from Jack. And he asks, do you think it's a possible failure if the Hawks don't make any moves by the deadline? Interesting. I know a lot of fans will think this. If the Hawks are quiet, if the Hawks don't do anything at all between now and Thursday, you will definitely read somewhere a hot take column about the Hawks failing to do what they're supposed to do. I get that. Last year's interesting parallel in some ways. I banged the drum for a while last year that the Hawks needed to be aggressive and selling on their assets last year, which is basically Ilyasova and Bellinelli with their expiring contracts. This year, the equivalent guys are Lynn and Dedmon. I think Lynn and Dedmon are better than Bellinelli and Ilyasova were last year, which is something we have to be point out. It's not all the same. Salaries are all different. The league structure is different. I think, though, when push came to shove last year, Bellinelli had no trade value whatsoever. That's not just me guessing. That's actually me kind of reporting that, to be honest with you. The Hawks could have traded him, but they would have had to take back some bad money and make it sort of a deal that would have actively hurt them in the future, and that wasn't really something that Travis Schlenk wanted to do. With Ilyasova, I've heard multiple times now that he vetoed at least one trade. He had the power to do so with an implicit no trade clause. That made it very difficult. Neither Lynn or Dedmon have any ability to block a trade, so that's something to keep in mind as well. But the Hawks last year essentially were choosing between trades that would actively hurt the team in terms of the salary cap situation moving forward, or something just biting the bullet, hanging on to them, and then buying them out, saving a little bit of money. So they chose to do that. I didn't kill them for it because I kind of knew the situation wasn't really there to trade Bellinelli, especially because the market just wasn't there. He was so bad in Atlanta that it didn't really behoove teams to go out and buy. And of course, he was pretty good in Philly in terms of his making shots, but he was really poor with the Hawks, and that kind of facilitated that. So without going too deep into that, last year stuff is sort of a good example because I think, again, these guys are better this year. And I think I'm pretty confident the Hawks can find a reasonable deal for Dedmon that would not cripple them long term. So my eyebrow will kind of raise if they hang on to Dedmon, because he's someone that could be around long term. He's not that old. He sort of fit the timeline. He's a little bit older than you would necessarily want, but he's someone that fits well in Atlanta. They might want to keep him. But aside from that, I think Lynn is making so much money that you could certainly easily see a situation like Bellinelli last year where teams might have interest in him, but you can't necessarily make an obvious deal that makes sense for the Hawks in terms of the salary cap situation for the future. If the only way you can make a deal for Lynn is taking back a bad salary for next year that's like $10 million or more, you only do that if you're going to get a first-round pick in the deal or a real asset somewhere else. If you're taking back eight figures for next year and all you're getting is like a second-round pick or even two of the second-round picks, I probably wouldn't do that. And it's a situation where Lynn makes so much money that there aren't a lot of contracts that are expiring that are at $13, $14, even $12, $11 million in nature. You're taking back some bad salary there. So if it's not for a first-round pick, it isn't as easy as you might think to trade Lynn. Because of the fact that his salary is just so big. It's not really his fault. It's obviously he took the money, and rightly so. Lynn is a quality player, but when guys make that much money on expiring deals in this NBA, it's not always easy to trade those guys. So in the end, we'll never fully know what the Hawks have been offered. Schlenk's not been someone who's going to be super public about that, and I'm not the hot take guy that's going to come on here and blast them if they don't do anything. I do think that Schlenk's been very, very consistent in messaging that they want draft assets, they want cost-controlled young players, they want to make sure every single move is forward-facing, future-oriented, and makes sense for them. That might include taking money back for next season because the Hawks don't really have a reason to have like $70 million in cap space. So they have some reason to be willing to take on money for next year because if they get assets along with that, that makes total sense. That's a rebuilding move that a lot of teams are doing. Cleveland's been doing it recently, for instance. The Hawks have been doing it for a while now. Obviously, the Jamal Crawford contract 2 years ago to get the Houston Rockets pick last year that became Amari Spellman. There's lots of instances where the Hawks taking back bad money in order to get assets. There's a reason for that. Brooklyn did it for a while there. They took Damari Carroll back. Teams have figured out that this is a good way to add assets to the war chest. And if it's not super long-term money, that makes a lot of sense in the world. So if they do take money, though, it'll come with an asset that'll come with sort of appropriate compensation to do that. That could sort of stall any deal. But I think in the end, the Hawks will probably do something. I would certainly predict that they do. It would not like blow me away beyond measure if they did not do anything. It's just one of those things, and I will not come on here and kill them if they do that. I'd be surprised if they don't do a single thing between now and Thursday. But you have two expiring contracts in Lynn and Dedmon. There are obstacles potentially to both. I think Dedmon is the guy. He's number one on my list for a reason of someone who's going to probably be traded because his salary is more manageable. Lynn is more challenging. So we'll see what happens. You know, all that to say, though, I will not kill them if they don't make a move. I know people will, and I will understand that viewpoint. But if you try to get a little bit more nuanced, as we like to do on this podcast, it isn't always easy. And Bellinelli last year is a perfect example of this. If the options are do a deal that hurts you long term or don't do a deal, they're not going to do a deal. And that makes sense all the way around. So I know that's a lot of information to throw at you at this point in the, I guess it's more just me recording at a late hour, but whenever you're listening to this, hopefully it's not out of date and in a hurry, as the Hawks might do something Tuesday morning. But if it's something you're listening to when nothing else has happened, just try to keep a level head. It's very important that these are very nuanced discussions. There's a lot happening. Salary matters more in the NBA than any other sport, because you have to match salary on trades, and the machinations are really there. You know, baseball salary doesn't really matter unless you're just the owner paying for the team. The trade, you don't have to match salary and trade. Same with the NFL. I mean, the NFL has a harder salary cap, but you don't have to match salary and trade. There are fewer trades. So the NBA is a particularly interesting beast when covering the league like that. So I will recommend one thing, and that is earlybirdrights.com. That's a site that Jeff Siegel runs that started, and he's a frequent guest on this podcast, but it's the best salary cap information you can find on the internet. He has a detailed salary cap sheet for every single team in the league. That's very, very helpful, up-to-date information, as well as the ESPN trade machine is always helpful to just sort of check and see what works and what doesn't work. I understand not everyone's a CBA expert. I'm not one either. I know a little bit of that stuff, but it's always worth noting that matching salary is very, very important, and the Hawks look to be looking to the future on any deal that they do. So those things are always important to keep in mind. So thanks for listening to the podcast, everybody. Hopefully this will tide you over in a trade deadline primer sort of way. If there is anything in terms of a major rumor or a major trade that happens between now and Thursday, I will break in, I promise, with a podcast. If it is all quiet, if nothing weird happens until at least Thursday, if it happens Thursday, I'll probably do a pod break in of some sort before the game starts. But at the very least, I will come back with a podcast on Thursday night. That will be a combo recap / deadline. The Hawks play a game, of course, on Thursday at home against the Raptors. They're not home for 7 straight games after being gone for 2.5 weeks. So I'll see plenty of the Hawks up close and personal. And that might start with a post-deadline press conference of some sort. So stay tuned for all the information that you'll be getting. Follow me on Twitter @BTRoll and follow the show @LockedOnHawks. And we'll see you guys later in the week.